This is a teaching, Sunday 5:425, a call to prayer. Okay, prayer has brought the great awakening across our nation and the nations of the world. We're going to look at a couple of chapters in Revelation. Lord has had me in this book quite a bit lately. Chapter 5. Now I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, wherewith then, and on the backside sealed with seven seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of his right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, calling, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, has made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. When he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see, and I'll be He held, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. When it opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him, and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them which, that were slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, and to their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll, and when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks, and the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Chapter 6 reveals the beast system that has been at work to enslave us since the fall. It was done so subtly that it was like the frog in the kettle. We're told in the scriptures that we should pray. I'm going to give two scriptural references, one Old Testament, one New Testament. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14-15. Well, let's just start with 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. For mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears ardent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Then 1 Timothy 2. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. There have been awakenings throughout history that has beaten back this system for a time. But now it has reached the saturation point worldwide. The call to prayer started the Great Awakening. It started worldwide. This time the evil root will be removed. Babylon and its system is coming down. Now we're going to go over to the book of Daniel. Chapter 2. Starting with verse 31 there. Daniel's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O king, sawest and behold a great image, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. It's the kingdom of God. That's why Q says nothing can stop what is coming. No man, this is God, no man can stop what is coming. Daniel 4. Starting with verse 1 there. Nebuchadnezzar the king unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, and the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of my head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it. The fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one come down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, hewn down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his root in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a man's beast heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able. For the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, was astonied for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon those branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown, and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, Hewn the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with the band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall be wet with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. And whereas they command to leave the stump of their tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Let me see how much. Okay. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bear claws. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine eyes and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, "Why doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I read all that to read this. This is where we're headed. The plan is God's plan. This chapter 5, I'll just read a few verses here. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. The same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the pilaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck, shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, "O king, live forever, let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." So we're going to look also at some of the places where this system has raised up. I'm going to look over to Genesis chapter 10. Remember the stump that's in the ground. It has everything to do with where we sit today, what we're going through today. Starting with verse 1. Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Unto them were sons born after the flood. the sons of Japheth, Gomer and Magog and Madi and Javan and Tubal and Meshach and Tiras, and the son of Gomer, Ashkenaz and Riphath and Togarmish, and the sons of Javan, Elisha and Tarshish, Kittim, and sorry if I spell if I do it wrong, Dodanim. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. The sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Phut, and Canaan, and the sons of Cush, Seba, Havilah, Sapta, and Ramah, Sebek-tek, whatever. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad and Kalna in the land of Shinar, which is Babylon. That's what we're dealing with today. Okay. The Tower of Babel. God had to confuse their language and scatter the people to keep from them from meeting their objection. Chapter 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Well, today it does fill the whole earth, and that was their objective, to do just exactly that. Even some of their programming reflected this. It showed the dome firmament. I don't even remember what this particular celebrity show was, but it showed plainly that their goal was to storm heaven by Satan's decree. The Lord came down to see the city and the tower with the children of men, which the children of men builded. The Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. And thereof is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Why am I reading all of this? Because this is exactly where we sit. We have come to the end. It's infiltrated the whole earth. Genesis 14. And it came to pass in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, this is Babylon, Arioch, king of Elazar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations, that these made war with Bera, king of Sodom, with Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemember, king of Zoboam, and the king of Bela, which is Zoar. All these were joined together in the valley of Shittim, which is the Salt Sea. 12 years they served Chedorlaomer, and the 30th year they rebelled. In the 14th year came Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him, and smote the Rephaims in Ashtaroth, Carnim, and the Zuzims in Ham, and the Emmons in Shaba. See, these are giants, all these. And the Horites and their Mount Seir unto El Paran, which is the wilderness, and they returned and came to En-Mishphat, which is Kadesh, and smote all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites that dwelt in Hazazon Tamar. And there went out the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, the same as Zoar. And they joined battle with them in the valley, or the vale of Siddim, with Chedorlaomer, the king of Elam, with Tidal, king of nations, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, which is Babylon, Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings with five. And the vale of Siddim was full of slime pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled and fell there. And they that remained fled to the mountains, and they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their victuals and went their way. And they took Lot. This is when Abram went after these people because they took his nephew Lot. This is all in Abraham's day. Well, God destroys Sodom. He comes to visit Abraham and tells him what he's going to do. And Abraham intercedes, but nobody makes it out alive. Okay, with that, go to Isaiah chapter 11. We see this same thing recurring over and over and over. The root still in the ground, the tree. 11:11. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. He shall set up an ensign for the nations, shall assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. This is Revelation chapter 7, where we see the sealing of the 12 tribes. No one in the Bible probably interceded any more for their people but Daniel. Now I'm going to go back to Daniel. This is chapter 1. God showed Daniel a lot of things about the end times. Oh, where are you, Daniel? There you are. Let's go to Daniel 12. I'm not going to read 1. Let's go to 12. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then Daniel looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand, his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. When he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Daniel said he heard, but he didn't understand what was said. We may think that what we're going through is an isolated incident, but this has been occurring over all biblical history. We have now come to the end of it. Daniel's book has been unsealed because we are in the time of the end. Revelation chapter 5. This is John. He said, I saw in the right hand, chapter 5, verse 1, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, on the backside sealed with seven seals. This is Daniel's book. I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. He came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, hast made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are therein, I heard saying, Blessing, honor, glory, power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever. The four beasts said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. So we see here, in the next chapter, they began to open the seals and began to reveal the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which we've seen in Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, their influences in all the earth. That's the system that we live under right now. Okay? Go to Zechariah 5. It's really a pretty compact book and it has a lot of meaning if you know how to read it. This is Zechariah 5. Zechariah is talking about Shinar, Babylon. You may think, why is this relevant? Well, you're going to see how it's relevant. This is the same junk we've had to put up with in our society. Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked and beheld a flying roll. He said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits, the breadth thereof 10 cubits. Then said he unto me, This is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. Everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. Everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name, and it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, Lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, What is it? And he said, This is an ephah that goeth forth. He said, Moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. This is a woman, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. I put here a UFO anti-gravity ship. And he said, This is the wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of the lead upon the mouth thereof. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings. For they had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, Whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, To build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own house. This is Babylon and the alien agenda. It's got so many people bewitched today and believe it's true, even Christians. This is what's going on. Part of the fake alien narrative that we have had revealed to us. We are at the time when this evil root will be removed. All this exposure is coming to pass. I do not believe we have come to this point in God's or point and have not that haven't awakened. I'm amazed that anyone could still be asleep after all of this time and everything that's happened. I believe whenever what happened with Obama, we awakened like the virgins in chapter 25 of Matthew. Some trimmed their lamps, some didn't have oil in their lamps, and they fell back asleep. But some woke up. Some, like us, went to prayer, began to seek the Lord. Okay. Our prayers are precious to God. This is Revelation 1:5 that I read a while ago. Our prayers are precious to God, so precious that they are collected in vials ready to be poured out. These prayers, I believe, kickstarted the Great Awakening. Without prayer, we would not have been sitting where we are today. It's not just our prayers, but Daniel's prayers and many others that has brought us to this point all throughout biblical history. We're all together in this. Maybe those vials had to be full before they could be answered. I'm not sure. This has been one of our prayers. Right here, Revelation 22:20. I'm sure you could quote it, but I'm going to read it, 22:20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And I'm just going to read to you what I wrote here of our recall to that day. I remember sitting in a restaurant and watching the television that was on there, and they announced that the Supreme Court passed same-sex marriage. I remember thinking that we now lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a wake-up call for us, and that is when we began to pray and petition the Lord for our nation. That was July 2015. We stopped doing all the stuff we enjoyed and turned our faces to seek the Lord, and here we are 10 years later seeing all these events unfolded before us. It's time for the weeding out process. It really has already begun. In the Truth Amendment, I've heard on several occasions that number 44 was so evil that the military wanted to execute a coup to take him out around 2012. They decided to recruit Donald Trump to run for president because they did not want another civil war on their hands. He has been weeding out and exposing evil and wickedness for many years now. One of the first revelations that I received was the truth about number 44, his so-called wife and so-called children. The White House was so desecrated that Melania Trump, being Catholic, would not even step foot in the place until a priest came in and exorcised whatever evil was there. Now we know there's not anything to that, but still. That was the only way she knew to say, I'm not going into that evil place because of what they've done here. Okay, let's go to Matthew 13. And another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which is a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So they have been hidden. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned into the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. They shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. That's all Jesus taught was the kingdom of God. Our military has been behind the scenes monitoring everything and have been active to do God's work. I know that day in that restaurant, it woke me up. The Lord knocked, and these virgins woke up and started putting oil in their lamps. Prayer changes things. Without it, nothing changes. We have powerful leaders and military, but they are immobile against the beast system without the prayers of the saints. It takes the supernatural to whip the beast. Every Christian has a moral obligation to get on their knees and fight like a man. God will not do anything unless we ask Him. That's why we pray for our leaders. God is the mediator. The words in this prayer, praying for all in authority, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Here is supplications. A petition. It says prayer in the vines. Prayers is worship or an oratory. Oratory is a private chapel or a place of prayer. In other words, it's something that you regularly do. Intercessions is an interview, it says. Intercessions is seeking the presence and hearing of God on the behalf of others. Thanks is just having gratitude, grateful language as an act of worship. In other words, our demeanor reflects gratitude. There is no telling how many hours of programming around the world is trashing and bashing our leaders. Satan and his crowd seeding the narrative with the wrong kind of words. Satan comes to steal the word. Sadly, the ones trashing and bashing are Christians. They bash other Christians. They bash Christian ministers and believe it is their obligation to let everyone know. The thing is, God didn't make them the judge. He didn't make them the judge. So we need to be careful what we say. Because as far as I'm concerned, everyone in the body of Christ has their lane. And God has given them a commission, and they are to stay in their lane. And that means you don't criticize somebody else in some other lane. Galatians 5. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're the body of Christ. Does a sane person curse one of his own body parts? One more scripture. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In other words, even though someone may believe differently and say things differently, well, let me put it this way. Nobody knows everything. Nobody. And so God has given each person their lane and their particular revelation of what He's called them to do, and we need not criticize one another. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. If they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So even the people that come that God sends here, they might not have quite every view that we have. But they may have a view that might help. You understand what I'm saying? They may be a contributing part to this that we don't have, that we need. So that's something to keep in mind. This awakening, virgins with their lights burning, will be where we go one, we go all. Okay.